You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The narrator of Emily Rubin's debut novel, Stalina, is a woman who once had a schoolgirl crush on her namesake, the Russian dictator, or the Soviet dictator, Joseph Stalin. But after the fall of the Soviet Union, she comes to the United States to forge a new life with surprising results. It's published by Amazon Encore, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Emily Rubin to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Now, you were born in this country. How did you come to write this novel from the point of view of a Russian woman in her 60s?
Well, I had the opportunity to teach an oral history class in Brighton Beach, Brooklyn, 1997-98, when I was teaching. And all my students were exactly this, older Russian immigrants who came after the fall of the Soviet Union. And I had them write about their what it was like to leave their country, what it was like to come and be older immigrants in a country. And I was really fascinated by their stories and taken with their energy.
Were any of them actually named Stalina?
One of the assignments that I gave them was to tell us for whom they were named. And that brought up these incredible stories about grandfathers and great-grandfathers who were in the Tsar's army. And then there was a very beautiful woman who explained that her name was Stalina and that she was named for Stalin. And even though her friends had asked her to change her name and wipe that part of history from her identity, she very boldly said, "I keep it because it is our history." And I was very struck by that and felt, there I have a great character.
How many children were named after him? I know a lot were named Svetlana after Stalin's daughter, Svetlana. Yeah. And in this case, Stalina names her cat Svetlana.
Exactly. Well, the names carry on. I can't tell you exactly how many people were named for Stalina, but it was a name that was used. There's very mixed feelings about Stalin still today, but there's a particular story that I bring up about why she was named for it in the book.
So. Because she was Jewish, and that made them a bit more vulnerable. They were hoping that by naming the child Stalina, she might get certain advantages that she wouldn't have gotten otherwise?
Yeah, it was controversial. I mean, certainly I can't imagine that too many Jews would name their daughter after Stalin. But
especially after the doctor's plot.
Exactly. So this is, how to protect yourself in a very extreme, oppressive society was the thought behind it.
How well were they adjusting to life here? Were most of them glad that they had left Russia, or were any nostalgic for certain aspects of life under communism?
Very mixed, both nostalgic and also happy to be here. I mean, there was so much that they'd left behind that was their lives, their professions, their family. And then coming here, they were I was very struck by their energy for the life here and to forge a life here, even at a latter time in their lives, and to embrace America and to assimilate somewhat like my family did when they came here, but to really still hold on to their culture.
So how far into this teaching gig did you realize that you were developing a novel yourself, or a collection of short stories?
Yeah, I started with the stories kind of emerging from them every day. It's like a different – I felt like there was an amalgamation that would come together from all the students that could be this central character of Stalina. And I started writing vignettes that were, I guess, became somewhat short stories but really became the chapters. And they – just were generated from some of the stories that my students told, but also then a coming of age story that being my first novel, that was a comfortable way for me to tell a story. And then I just started to find ways of connecting the stories and arriving here.
And you also traveled to Russia to research this.
Yeah, it was a wonderful opportunity through. There's a wonderful program called the Summer Literary Seminars. And they do an exchange program with Russian writers and American writers in St. Petersburg. And in 2002, I had the opportunity to go. And there, most of the book had been written by then.
And much of it took place in St. Petersburg, which was called Leningrad.
Exactly. Back and forth. When I went there, it was St. Petersburg again. And that just helped to expand my visceral sense of the city. I'd done a lot of research. A lot of documents had come out after the fall of the Soviet Union that were about things both horrific and exciting that had happened during that time. And so being there to actually see what was sold on the streets and talk to people who had been through the siege of Leningrad, for instance, really helped.
My guest is Emily Rubin, whose novel Stalina is now available through Amazon Encore. Well, the memories of what happened during World War II seem to be much more alive still in Russia, and especially in a place like St. Petersburg, because of what happened during the 900-day siege of Leningrad during World War II. Stalina was sent to a camp. Were a lot of kids sent to, out of the city to escape that terrible siege?
Yeah, that was quite the, in a way of protecting the children, that a lot of camps were set up for that. There were, of course, a lot of people who remained, and I tried to tell both those stories of what it was like to leave and to have these young parents have their young children sent away for almost 2 years, in some cases.
And your structure, this book, is a kind of a back and forth between Selina's life here and her memories of what happened when she was younger. She was trained as a chemist, and in Russia she worked in a factory which produced scents, although its real purpose was the production of poisons like anthrax and arsenic. Did any of your students have that experience?
Well, I had students who were physicists and who were chemists, and they came from all kinds of professions. That particular job was not one of them, but it was something that I came to through some of the research that I did about how those labs were set up and what they were used for. Some of it does come from my imagination and wanting to tell the story a certain way. But I thought that that was a good place for Stalina to come from.
And when she comes here, she goes to stay with a childhood friend who lives outside Hartford, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And she finds maid at a short stay motel, mm-hmm. one of those no-tell motels that rents rooms by the hour. She speaks good English, has a university degree in the field. Why couldn't she have gotten a job as a chemist here?
Well, she in the story, she does go and interview and apply for jobs, but she just finds it kind of depressing, and she really wants to leave her past behind. And even taking this job at this short stay motel, at the Liberty Motel, is something that she feels opens up a world to her and brings her to the America that she's looking for.
But I have spoken to a number of immigrants, mm-hmm. cab drivers, for example, mm-hmm. who tell me that back home they were doctors or they were lawyers mm-hmm. or whatever, and here they're driving cabs.
Yeah, it happens quite often.
Well, in her case, because she is quite smart, she winds up very quickly rising above being just a maid. Mm-hmm. Although she grows up under communism, she finds that she has a talent for marketing of a sort.
Yeah, it's actually part of the Russian psyche, I think, that I discovered, is that there is this great imagination. Of course, we see it in literature and the art and the music, and that is part of that culture. But she convinces the owner of the motel to let her transform the rooms into these fantasy settings.
And gazebo in a rainbow, roller coaster fun park.
Yeah. And that's her way of saying, I think we can make a success of this place.
And she's also non-judgmental. You think that's a particularly Russian attitude?
Well, I think that it is a human attitude, but for her it's that anything can happen, good or bad, in our lives, and that you're not going to, she's not going to judge good or bad either way. She really wants to move forward and bring some kind of solace to people's.
Although bad does happen. Eventually the Russian mob comes into the story. Mm-hmm. Is it difficult for Russian immigrants to avoid contact with them?
As far as I can see, there is a presence there, and it's felt, and it's understood. And
you want to go to a Russian nightclub, there's a likelihood that you're going to come in contact?
Yeah. It's just part of life. It's just part of life as far as concerned. Even when I was in St. Petersburg, there was a strong presence of the black market, you know, as a way of things operating and a way of things working. And I think that people come with that here, too, and that it still helps to operate certain neighborhoods. And
have your students read the novel?
They have not yet. I'm going to bring some out to them yet, although it was a while ago that I did teach them. It was in 97, 98, so I'm hoping that some of them will be still around and they'll be able to enjoy it.
I'd be curious what Stalina herself thinks. Yeah. And I understand that you've organized a reading series to be held in laundromats called Dirty Laundry. What's that all about?
Well, that is something that I started I co-founded with another writer, friend Gregory Rossi, a number of years ago in 2005. And that was an idea that we had to organize readings in laundromats around New York City.
Because people are sitting around doing nothing while waiting for the clothes to dry?
Exactly. You know, a little bit of entertainment in the laundromat, but also to have local writers in their neighborhoods come and read from their work to their neighbors in a way to have some kind of a social experiment going on. And we have done a number of them in the last 5 years and 6 years, and it continues, and it ends up being a lot of fun. There's always something unusual that happens in the reading, in the laundromat, in the crossover of people doing their washing their clothes and listening to stories.
I just suggest that you don't do any readings in laundromats that are owned by the Russian mafia.
Well, thank you for that.
Stalina is Emily Rubin's first novel, published by Amazon Encore, but I'm assuming others will be happening somewhere down the line.
Yeah, I'm working on other stories and another novel.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Pleasure.